I love that.
One piece on Parshas Shmos is from the year Tufshin Beis. So that would be beginning of January 1942. Okay, it's a long piece. It's about Yiras Shemayim and Yiras Chet. It's a little bit tricky, but we'll try our best. It's long. We'll move quickly. We'll skip around a little bit. Vayomer Moshe El Elokim, Mi Anochi Ki Elecha Paro V'Chiyotzias B'nei Yisrael MiMitzrayim. For those of us who sometimes feel that we don't have the ability to do what needs to be done in life, we should just know that Moshe Rabbeinu also felt that way. Moshe Rabbeinu said, who am I to go to Paro? Who am I to take B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? So Hashem says back to him, Vayomer ki yeh imach, I'll be with you. Vezelecha haos, ki anochi shilachticha. This will be the sign that I sent you. Votziacha asa'am im Mitzrayim, tavdunas halokim ala harazah. The sign will be that when you leave Mitzrayim, but come back to this mountain, you'll get the Torah, and that will be the proof that this was all part of the mission. So the Rebbe says, first of all, Navin na halokisha amar Hashem la Moshe Rabbeinu shiyelach. When Hashem first told Moshe Rabbeinu to go, did Moshe think that Hashem was not going to be with him? That Moshe Rabbeinu has to say, I can't do it. Hashem says, I'm going to go with you. Oh, I didn't realize you're going to go with me. He knew from the start Hashem's going to be with him. Hashem said, I'm sending you on this mission. Of course Hashem's going to support. Hashem wasn't sending him to Paro to be executed. Hashem was sending him to Paro to be Matzliach. So why does Moshe respond, V'lama Amar, mi anochi, who am I? What do you mean, who am I? What are you worried about, Moshe Rabbeinu? Atchehutzach Hashem lomar lo, ki haya imach. He needs Hashem to say explicitly, I'll be with you. Of course Hashem's going to be with him. Question one. Question two. Umaha diuk alahar hazeh velostam tavdunas alokim. And why dafka does Hashem emphasize that, right, not only the proof is going to be that I'm with you and you're going to come back and get the Torah, but why dafka to emphasize you're going to get the Torah on this mountain? I mean, this mountain doesn't mean anything to B'nai Yisrael. Does it just represent kind of Moshe Rabbeinu coming full circle with the mission? He meets up with Hashem over here and now he comes back to this place. Right, to somehow reconnect with Hashem. Okay, so those are the questions. So he starts off by quoting a Gemara in Menachos. A Gemara in Menachos that introduces us to the importance of Torah study as a means of protecting us from sin. The Gemara says in Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud, Amar Eish Lakish, Mai Dichsiv Zois HaTorah, La'ola, La'mincha, U'lachata Suvashem. What does it mean? This is the law of the Torah. A different edition, but it still works. Right, Zos HaTorah, this is the Torah of the Karban Ola, the Karban Mincha, the Karban Chatas, the Asham. So it says Reish Lakish, Kol Ha'osek B'Torah, Ki Ilu Hikriv Ola, Mincha, Chatas, Asham. Anyone who learns Torah, it's as if you brought all the Karbanos in the world. That's good. Right, if you learn Torah, it's as if you brought a Karban. Amar Rava, so Rava says, well, hold on a second. Hai Le Ola Le Mincha. Ola u'mincha mibayle. According to your interpretation, Reish Lakish, it should have said Zois haTorah ola, that the Torah that you learn is like an ola. But that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says Zois haTorah leola limincha, right? Or la ola la mincha. So maybe you're not reading it exactly right. Says Rava to Reish Lakish. Ela amar Rava kol ozik b'Torah eno tzarich lo ola v'lo mincha v'lo chatas v'lo asham. Reish Lakish said, if you learn Torah, it's as if you brought all the karbanos. Rava says, no. If you learn Torah, then you won't need to bring the karbanos. Why? Says Rashi, the Talmud Torah mechapra avonosav, because Talmud Torah will serve as the kapara. So what is this machlokas, Reish Lakish and Rava? That Torah study is like bringing the karbanos, versus Torah study will make you not need to bring the karbanos, because the Torah itself will be the kapara. Isn't that essentially the same idea? Essentially, both of them are saying that Torah will be mechaper. Reish Lakish is saying that Torah will be mechaper, it'll be as if you brought the karbanos. And Rava is saying, Torah, you won't need karbanos because the Torah will be mechaper. Either way, that's the same point. They're saying the Torah is going to cleanse your averos. So what's the difference between Reish Lakish, right, and Rava? Yeah.
It sounds like both of them are having Torah in place with karbanos, but
one of them is saying that it's as great as korbanos, and one of them is saying like, oh, since we can't give a korban, like this is like the best we can give them.
So it's not as good.
From the second opinion that it won't.
Kol ha'osei b'torah ein ot sarich lo la'olav lo la'mincha. I think Rav is saying, if you have Torah, you don't need korbanos. Torah is even more powerful than korbanos. Talmud Torah is mechaper avonosim. I usually do an aveira and I have to bring a korban as kapara. But if I have Torah, then I won't even need to bring a korban. But how is that different than Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish is saying, if you have Torah, then Torah is like your korban. So does Rav think you don't do aveiros, and Reish Lakish thinks? They both think you do aveiros. They both think you need kapara. So the Torah is the carbon, or the Torah stops you from needing a carbon. Either way, it seems to be the same point. B'tzrichim lahavin, im kein ma hoisif rava al reish lakish, kevan shel drasha shneim akavana hisha Torah mechaperish. They're both essentially saying the same thing, which is Torah is cleansing, Torah is mechaper. So the Rebbe says al pi pashut hachiluk b'nehem rak b'mashmos halashon shel drasha pasuk. The pashup shot is that maybe they're just arguing again which word in the pasuk to emphasize. Aval chutz mizeh efshar lomar ki ilu hikriv ola mashma shesha b'cheit achahevi karban. But on a deeper level, says the Rebbe, right, one of them is going with the approach that you need to bring a karban, and when you learn Torah, Torah becomes that karban. And one of them is sort of saying that what? That you never needed a karban to begin with. So, in other words, what? Look at the words again. Mashma shishoha b'cheit achahevi karban. That he sat with the sin, and here's going to be the main point. Let me say it outside for a second. The Holy Eish Kodesh's point is that when it comes to averos, you want to be able to clean up your averos as quickly as you can. The longer you sit in the dirt, right, the longer you let the stain take root in your garments, and he's going to give exactly that mashal, the harder it is to get out. So one opinion is, like Reish Lakish, that what, when you learn Torah, it then is like a karban. But Rabba says, halavai, what? Halavai, the Torah comes so quickly that you never even needed to bring the karban. Reish Lakish sounds like there was a time lapse. There was an avera, you need to be mechaper, and then Torah can be mechaper. Rava seems to have this proactive approach, and by the way, it makes a lot of sense on a certain level in the life of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, of course, was someone who began his life as a person who was not the most righteous of individuals. He was a highway robber. He would ambush people. He was chozer b'tshuva. So Reish Lakish, in a certain sense, and even though Baal Tshuva on a certain level is higher than a tzaddik gamor, right? But Reish Lakish said, I had all these averos that they clung to me for a long time, and then Torah became my karbanos. Rav is telling us that there's a way for us, again, in real time, to try not to even let the chiyuv of the karban take effect. To try to clean it up immediately. And what we're really going to learn in this piece is how we can be proactive with Yiras Chet, that we don't even come to sin. And that will set up a lifestyle that I don't want to do averos for a deep reason. We'll explain what that is. And that creates a reality that when I do an avera, I'm more responsive to it right away. Because I was trying so hard not to do the avera. So that way, when lo aleinu I do sin, I'm quicker to respond in the way of tshuva. Okay, so let's see. He writes again. So Reish Lakish is the one who's saying that was it's ki'ilu hikriv ola, that the chait required a karban, right? But Rava is adding that what she'ino tzarich ola, that you shouldn't even need a karban. Mashma sheberega zo shechata miyad niskaper lo shal b'chait klal. Rava is adding that there's a way of tshuva that I don't even allow the avera to sit around long enough to, right? I don't even wait for, you know, using Makos language, right, from our Masechta, I don't even wait for the Gemara Din. Before there's even a Gemara Din, I'm already, you know, cleaning up. I'm already catching the Edom Zomen. Again, that's not going to make them Edom Zomen, according to our Gemara. But the point is, we want to deal with the problem as quickly as we can. He says six lines from the bottom. Ki no deshakol sheshoha ha'ish yoser b'cheid ad sheshav, because the longer a person sits with an Avera, until he repents, afilu imlo ba davar avera liadu yoser, even if it doesn't lead to more avera, mikol makom mishtari shi yoser b'chid. But that means he's spending more time in that state of sin. And that's going to require more tshuva to fix. There's an idea I heard a long time ago. B'shem the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz. He said that one of the challenges, one of the reasons that we have such complex neshamos in our generation, and it's our struggle and it's our strength, is the fact that you have to picture all of our neshamos as if they're in a big bucket. And in Gan Eden, the nachash, you know, the venomous snake, put some of his poison into the bucket. So those people who got out of the bucket sooner spent less time swimming in the poison. Those of us in this later generation, before Mashiach's arrival, we've been sitting in the bucket the longest. In other words, we've been living in the dirt, right? We've been in that dirty water for the longest, so to speak. And therefore, that has a hashpa on a person. Right? Even if I didn't do anything more. But the fact that I haven't cleaned it up for so long means that the stain is that much deeper. So therefore, a person shouldn't delay when it comes to fixing an avera. He gives an interesting example of this, a very hard to understand this a little bit. But the Gemara in Yevamos says that Geirim, converts, sometimes have a very difficult life. Because right? they feel like an outsider a little bit, even though the Torah tells us time and time again to show love and respect to the converts, and in many ways they're greater than a from birth type of person. You know, a person who was born a Jew. But at the same time, the Gemara says in Yevamos, three lines on the bottom, if they ma geirim bizman hazeh mu'unim, why is it that geirim sometimes suffer a lot? So one opinion in the Gemara, acherim omrim mipnei shesho atzvam lichonis tachas kanfei ashchina, because it took them a long time to join the Jewish people. They had no obligation to join the Jewish people. Yeah, but if you were going to do it, why didn't you do it sooner? Right? And because of that, it's like a taina against them. It's a hard thing to understand. Right? Yeah, it's very. Avshech nisu legairus atvam. Right? Even though they joined the Jewish people and converted. Mikol makum b'nei shesho b'chei tzvicham lisvo yisurim. But because they allowed themselves to live a sinful lifestyle for too long, right? So they need to suffer as a means of tikkun. Again, it's not a punishment, it's just a metzias. And he gives the metzias mashal of a beged. Mashal a beged, turn the page, shanafa alav revav. It's like a garment that got a stain on it. Right? It's not a punishment that it's harder to get the stain out if it sits there longer, it's just a fact, it's just a reality. If you clean it right away, so then it doesn't require a lot of cleaning. But if you let the stain sink in, so it's going to take a lot of cleansing, and it's going to take a lot of shifshuf, a lot of scrubbing, a lot of laundering, right? A lot of gilutz, a lot of pressing and trying to rework the shirt to make it look nice again. So in a certain sense, because this ger delayed his time joining the Jewish people, for that reason it's a harder process for him to work through whatever it is that he needs to work through. So now, let's talk about this in a not only response to after I did the Avera, how should I do tshuva quickly, let's talk about it in the approach to Averas in general. I would say that the thing that I ask Hashem for a lot these days is Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chet. So I feel like I don't really know what that is. And I want to have it. It's hard. Do we have real Yiras Chet? Does our generation have Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Chet? Do we tremble at the thought of an Avera? I know it's wrong. I feel a little bit bad. But am I scared? Am I scared of an Avera? I actually had an interesting situation yesterday. I was eating something. I made mizonos. I was eating something else, and I hadn't made shahakal yet, and I accidentally put something shahakal in my mouth. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? If you can spit it out, you should spit it out. Right? If you should spit it out, you should spit it out. Right. Very, very rare occurrence for me. I don't usually forget to make brachos. But I was busy with something, I got distracted. So I spit it out. And I thought to myself afterwards, I was like, first of all, forget to do a bracha. Gotta work on that. But then I thought to myself, I said, you know what? It's really an amazing thing. to like spit food out of your mouth because you really believe that I don't have a right to eat this food until I make a bracha. I said, that's a Yirat Shamayim moment. That's a real thing. That means I believe that there's a God who provided me with this food and I owe him thanks before I eat it. I was very like happy that I was able to be b'kayim that halacha. Even though it's kind of a gross halacha. You know? Yeah.
So a lot of the question. If you spit something out and like you're not going to eat that after, you're like, you're allowed to throw it out. And then
yeah, I guess if it's gross. Yeah. Yeah, it depends if it's waste. I would say it was a piece of chicken I had just put in my mouth. It wasn't like that gross to take it out. I was just saying, it wasn't so... We have to get into all the graphic details. Yeah.
Like, is it better to waste the food or it's like make
so again, if you have more, it's better to spit it out. If it's gonna again, if you you know pushing it off to the side is an option. It's not the best option though. It's not the optimal option. Okay. But again, that's called you know that's Yiras Chid. That's Yiras Shamayim. Right? So the Rebbe says, let's talk about Yiras Chid. Let's talk about Yiras Shamayim. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we do that? What type of person, right? What's an indication that I have Yiras Shamayim? Even when I do Averos, I want to clean them up right away. I'm not comfortable sitting in a state of Avera. It's indicative of a person who, even before an Avera comes his way, he injects into himself a certain Moiras Halev, Shelo Yechta Chasa Chalila, that he shouldn't do an Avera. And that becomes, again, his response if he does an Avera. And he doesn't have a sense of you know, confidence that he's never going to sin. He's anxious about doing an Avera. He's nervous. Again, we're not talking about a person. It's not a mental health issue. It's a spiritual awareness. He's nervous to do averos. He doesn't want to be the type of person who does averos. Says the Rebbe, ki lo rak avera hamufureshes patar. Now this is an important paragraph. Listen carefully. Paragraph that begins ki lo rak avera hamufureshes patora ubedivrei chazal. He avera, a person who has yirascheh yirashamayim. When he thinks about what's an avera, it's not just eating not kosher is an avera, right? Being mechal Shabbos is an avera. Or what Chazal say, you know, siyogim and gzeros mitzurabanan, mitzvos derabanan, that's an avera. It's more than that. It's not just a checklist of things that are on the book. V'lo rak aleho bilvad tzvichim lashuv. He doesn't feel that I only need to do tshuva for things that are explicit, clear averos, the raisa derabanan. Rak b'mida sha'ish rotel liskariv l'ritzono yizbarach. He considers how close am I to Hashem or not. And he considers any movement that he makes away from Hashem a form of avera. B'midazu kol davar kal b'machshava divor u'maisa. If my thoughts are not godly, if my speech is not godly, if my actions are not godly, shu neged ritzonu yizbar, anything that he does that, I know Hashem doesn't want me thinking about this. Again, is it usur per se? Usur, right? I'm not sure exactly which of the 613 it violates. Right? But in his eyes, right, it's a chet be'enav. V'shava love, and he does tshuva over it. Avalo da'i shia hadavar ra be'enav. It's not just enough that what? That this thing is considered bad in his eyes. Rak tzarech lahachnis ga mura b'libo al atzvo shulo yechta o shema kvar chata. But a person of real Yiras Chet lives with a sense of what? Of nervousness. Again, holy nervousness. That I don't want to do an Avera. Or I'm nervous that maybe I did an Avera. Maybe I allowed my mind to stray. Maybe I'm not really communicating with Hashem. Maybe I'm not thinking about Hashem at all. Maybe I'm totally self-absorbed. And now the Rebbe says, and there are really three levels of this Yiras Chet. Ki yesh lecha, next paragraph. Ki yesh lecha adam shiodeya esmar ha'onesh v'shvil kol chet rachman al-islam. There's a type of person who's very mindful of what he's nervous about averos because he's nervous about punishment. Again, halavai, we should be on such a level that we're nervous about punishment. Do most of us even, you know, are we nervous about getting punished? Yeah, whatever. If there was still in a time period where they gave out lashes, we'd probably be a little more mindful when we realize how painful that actually is. But we know that, though. Yeah, I do averos. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Whatever. I'll do better. Feel bad a little. It's madrega. Yiras chet. Yiras ha'oynash. V'yesh lecha adam yoser gadol. Sha'achet ba'atzmo neged yizbarach rama od beinav. There's another person who more deeply cares about the relationship with Hashem. That when he does something against Hashem, he feels really bad because, what is that? Look at everything Hashem does for me. Look at how much Hashem cares about me. Look what Hashem has given me. Do I value that relationship? Do I just casually violate that relationship? Again, like we just described, not only explicit sins that are listed in the Torah, but anything that's against the Ratzon Hashem. So he cares deeply about his relationship with Hashem. But at the same time, this person is not what? He hasn't injected into himself a fear to such a degree. He's not nervous that he's going to mess up. He said, I'm a serious guy. I don't want to be punished. Not only that, I don't want to violate my relationship with Hashem. But he thinks he's good. He thinks he's got it under control. But then there's a person who genuinely, again, as the pasuk says, Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy is the person who's mefachei tamid. There's something very holy about being what? Of being on guard all the time. Right? Again, there's a type of guy who doesn't want to get punished. There's a type of guy who not only does not want to get punished, he doesn't want to do the wrong thing. Right? Because he values the relationship with Hashem. He's not anxious about it though. Then there's a type of holy yira where the person is truly nervous. Shelo yechta v'libo nishbar b'kirbo. And he's that much more on guard. Right? He's that much more proactive in making sure that he's what? That he's looking out for averos. Mi yodeim gam ata ino moirid bo yisbach. He asks himself all the time, maybe right now I'm sinning and it's not explicit in the Torah. I'm not doing this clearly against the Torah at this moment. But maybe my mind is not as much with Hashem. Maybe my speech. Right? I davened this morning, but were my words deep enough? Maybe that was a chait. Right? Again, chait doesn't only mean sin. Chait means to miss the mark. Maybe I wasn't as attentive. Maybe my kavana wasn't there. Maybe my sincerity wasn't there. Ukeshalibo rach v'tamun v'fachid. When his heart is soft and he's always in this holy state of fear, oz be'emes motzei tamud b'kiru pagamim. And because he's more concerned, so he finds more, little faults with himself that he wants to improve. And again, that's a holy thing. That's a good thing. Yeah? That's right. That's right. Praiseworthy is the person where lo yachshav Hashem, if he doesn't even think about Hashem, if he stops thinking about Hashem, lo avon, to him that is considered sinful. Taking his mind off Hashem, he considers an avera. Right? It's not just, when I'm thinking about Hashem, that's a mitzvah, and when I do things against Hashem, it's an avera, and everything else is neutral. There's a madrig of a person who says what? Who's constantly analyzing himself. And again, you have to do this in a healthy way. It's a hard piece. Hachilak b'neim hu sha'rishon afshi yodei asura asachet. So again, what's the difference between these personalities? Right? You have the type of person who knows that averos are bad. Mikol makom b'kirbo lo hichnis as a yira. But that yira doesn't penetrate into his kishkas in a deep way. Right? He really believes that averos are bad, and he really likes Hashem. He cares about Hashem. He knows Hashem cares about him. He doesn't want to be a bad guy. Right? But he's not trembling. He's not tittering from averos, which is all of us. Right? We're not on this madrega. Right? Mekirbo lo hichnis asayira. He doesn't feel it inside of him. Ve'ein libo mefarches. His heart is not trembling. Shelo yechta. Right? That's the first guy, the first two guys. But this latter guy, hichnis is a yira gam b'kirbo. He allows that yira to enter him, again, in a way that what? Where he's constantly reassessing. Again, you have to do it in a healthy way. I can't say that enough. Because you could just be a person who has OCD and religious anxieties that are completely unhealthy and don't help you with your relationship with Hashem at all. What the Rebbe is setting up, and he's going to say on the top of the next page in just a second, is that what? Is that we shouldn't think, and this is again the Rebbe in 1942, so this is year three, this is deep into giving these drushas. The Rebbe says a lot of people, again, the impression you get, he doesn't say it explicitly this way, but the impression you get is that a lot of people are tired of hearing me talk about, striving for more. It's enough that we do the bare minimum. Right? It's enough that we just you know, do what needs to be done. And the Rebbe says, no, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake, and the mistake is twofold, and I'll tell you what that is in just a second. Okay? But just look at the bottom paragraph on Reish Tzayin. Va'od ki be'emes ha'yira she'ish la'adam hi'amshachas yira she'besviras gvura. Where does yira come from? It comes from the svira, in the ten sviras. It comes from a place of gvura. V'yiras ha'malachim. It comes from the awe and trepidation that one feels when they're truly in the presence of Hashem, like the angels in Shemayim. But it descends and it gets enveloped again in the form of the averos that we do. Again, first and foremost, that I don't want to be punished, right? More than that, that I don't want to damage our relationship with Hashem. And then this deeper level, again, of becoming so mindful that I don't want to even create an opening for an avera, and I'm constantly checking myself, wondering, am I already in a state of avera? And if I am, I want to clean it up immediately. And again, that's a very high level. The yira is rooted in that gvura, right? Gvura, what is yira? When a person's afraid, you're trembling. There's a sense of real awe. Right? Yira is gematria gvura, 216. Comes from the same shorish, comes from the same place. So the Rebbe says on the top of page, Reish Yud Zayin, I know a lot of people don't want to hear about such lofty madregos. And maybe that's us also. Abba, halavai, I should have any yiras shemayim at all. Halavai, I should be on the lowest level of yiras tzeit. Halavai, I should believe that if I do an avera, I actually could be chai of misa, or chai of kares, or chai of malchus. We're so uncomfortable even thinking about these things. We've pushed them into the corner, and like it's like fairy tales. Like, if you ask me, do I believe? Yeah, I believe in these things. But you feel that? You feel that? You're scared to do an avera? I don't know. So the Rebbe says, "V'shvil zegamata, shekol roi shelcholi." Everyone's head is pounding. Everyone feels sick. V'chole vavdavai, and every heart is broken. Every heart is ill. V'doma la'adlam she'ein le'daber min yani chasidus v'tshuva miyira zozo. And you're saying, Rabbi, stop talking to us about chasidus. Stop talking to us about tshuva. Stop talking to us about madregos of yira. It's more than enough if we're even interested in doing anything on the most basic level. The Rebbe says, you're making a mistake and it's twofold. You're wrong. Aleph, a person is never exempt from serving Hashem to the best of his ability, even in difficult times. But more than that, the Rebbe says, we have enough anxieties as it is. Why are you telling me to work on my Yiras Shamayim? I'm anxious enough. I've got enough stress. I've got enough difficulty in my life. 1942, living under the Nazis, Yimach Shalom. I don't need any more. And the Rebbe says, and that's your really big mistake. You think Yiras Shamayim is a contradiction to a life of what? Of happiness. Again, we're not talking about a mental illness or emotional anxiety that's unhealthy. We're talking about a deep awareness of living before your Creator. And when a person does that, it actually creates tremendous tanuk, a tremendous simcha. The disconnect from Hashem is what creates all the anxiety. Respecting Hashem's mitzvos and feeling that I'm in the presence of the King creates tremendous joy in one's life. Look at these words, very important. Hard for us to live with, but really, really important. Beis Adarava, he says in the fourth line on page Reish Yud Zayin. Misha holich b'machshavos hirura yira kazu. If a person trains his mind to have genuine thoughts of yira shemayim, afshe b'shas ma'isa doig al atzmo shema kach v'shema kach v'ro b'kirbo b'gam zeh v'zeh, that he's constantly again reassessing himself, and he's wondering, does this action serve Hashem properly? Are my actions aligned with God? Are my speech, my thoughts aligned with Hashem? Mikol makum, yes, maybe in the moment that cheshbon hanefesh is grueling and it hurts. But mikol makum acherei zmanei machshava ke'elu, margish yisroimus v'gam simcha. But when you get yourself aligned with your Creator, and you're living with a sense of shvisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, even though, yes, a person trembles before the King, but at the same time, there's a tremendous sense of that I'm before the King. It's a privilege. There's a sense of hisroimus, a sense of being lifted up. There's a tremendous simcha of knowing that I'm meeting the expectations of my Creator. I should feel good about that. Vipnesha yira tahorihi. My yira is holy and pure. It's a form, he says, min noam yirasecha. He quotes from Kayachsof. Right? It creates a noam yirasecha. What is noam? Noam means the pleasantness of yira. It's not paralyzing. Right? It doesn't make life miserable. It's a yira ilah hamiromemes esaish. It's a holy type of yira that lifts a person up. Because when I'm not thinking about Hashem enough, that's when I start to feel gross as a human being. When I'm thinking about Hashem all the time, then I feel I'm tapped in, I'm connected. I remind myself what's important in life. Right? I'm less stressed about finals because I'm more stressed about not doing averas. But I'm not stressed. That's the point. Right? It's zooming out a little bit. Reminding me, what are my expectations of myself in this world? Right? Have I drifted away from being connected to Hashem in a real way, in a deep way? He quotes a Zohar in the next paragraph that says that when Hashem was giving the Torah prior to creation, when Hashem was considering the possibility, so the Torah said, why are you going to create the world? Are you going to make an Adam? He's going to do averos. He's going to mess everything up. So Hashem says, what do you mean? Don't you know that I'm a kel rachum b'chanun? Don't you know that I'm erech apayim? Don't you know that I'm patient? So everybody says, I don't get the Zohar. Did the Torah not know that Hashem is patient, that Hashem is open to tshuva? It says in the Torah, v'shaftar Hashem alokecha. What do you mean? The Torah doesn't know that. So the Rebbe is explaining what's Hashem's response? Avalafi anizkar la'el. The conversation in the Zohar and Achaymos between Hashem and the Torah. Lo at tshuva levad ha'hutrucho liskadim kodim b'riyas ha'olam, ragam ha'yira ula yechta. Right? The Torah is raising the question about the possibility of sin. And Hashem says, yeah, I know about that possibility of sin. And the Torah itself raising that possibility means that it's part of reality, that man will sin. So what's Hashem's response? In other words, right, the Torah is creating the possibility by saying, a man's going to sin, man's going to mess up. Hashem says, it's true. But you also know, Torah, that what? That I'm a patient God, and I'm willing to negotiate. And you yourself, the Torah, you know, v'shavtar Hashem lokecha, right? So this conversation about the possibility of sin and the possibility of fixing it creates within us that possibility of what? Of being on guard against sin. And by being on guard against sin, that means when we do sin, we will, v'shaftar Hashem lokecha, we'll quickly clean up our averos and we'll get ourselves back on track. So to the degree that you're nervous about doing the avera, here's the punchline, to the degree that you're nervous about doing the avera, you'll be that much quicker to respond, to fix the avera if and when, God forbid, a person messes up. But if you develop an attitude like it's not such a big deal, so then after the avera also, you'll let it sit around for too long. And then you're sitting in the dirt for too long. And that has a damaging effect on a person. A person has to understand that can be very damaging. So he says, with this, we understand the Gemara that we started with. Again, like Rava taught us, there's a way of what? Of having a veros and then coming back to Torah eventually and using the Torah as my karban versus being the type of person who what? Who's so on guard that the second I do the avera, I've already fixed the problem. Because my yira and my thoughts of tshuva even preceded the sin. The kol kach lama, and why is that so? Because part of the way that Hashem built the world, one of the things that Hashem created in preparing the world, right, prior to the world, is tshuva itself, is the possibility of being a Yarei Shemayim. And knowing that possibility allows me to be in a state of tshuva and yira even before I do the avera. So therefore, if I mess up, I'm ready to respond right away. Last but not least, says the Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, two paragraphs on the bottom. Moshe Rabbeinu says, after Kabbalah Satorah, ki leva'avur nasos eschem bo elokim, uva'avur tia yirosu alpenechem levilti sechetav. So Rashi explains Nasos is a lashon of what? Of being lifted up. Lashon harama. So says the Rebbe, three lines from the bottom, shall pi pashut heim beis dvarim. It seems like the pasuk is saying two things. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the possibility of us being uplifted. V'gam lava'avur tia yiras al p'neichem levilti techto. That yira on the one hand lifts us up, and yira on the other hand stops us from sin. Sounds like Rashi's making 2 points. It's like the pasuk is making 2 points. And yira is what? Ha'emtza'i, rak emtza'i, sha'al yada lo yechto. It says the Rebbe, based on what we explained above, it's not two separate things. It's not that yira prevents from sin, and yira can also lift a person up. It says the Rebbe in the last line of the page, she'asigu yira levilti techto, to acquire a type of yira that becomes what? A proactive type of yira. That stops one from sinning, a yira tmidis, shelo yachto, val yidei ze yisromimu. And through that yira, a person becomes the elevated person, nasos eschem ba'alokim, to be lifted up, kevajihi b'chinas noam yirasecha. It's not the type of yira that makes life scary and miserable, it's the type of yira that elevates. V'kevan shi yisromu b'matzav avodasam, as gam neged umas ha'olam yisromu v'lo yuchlu lehem. Now, the Rebbe slips in his tefillah at the end there. And by living, again, a life of real yira, of elevated yira, right? So it lifts you up in such a way that hopefully it protects you, it shields you from the enemies. It lifts you above the enemies of the Jewish people. So the Rebbe, again, is making a push as the people get more and more burnt out in January 1942. And they're saying, if Rebbe, the very fact that we're doing anything is admirable. And the Rebbe says, you're right, but we have to always be striving for more. And we have to realize that the yira that comes from yira schet is actually freeing in a certain sense, because it lifts a person up and it creates a deep sense of simcha and awareness of living in the presence of Hashem, and that itself is the chizuk. So the Rebbe says, now let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was first sent on the mission. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mi anochi ki eleich al paro? Who am I to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? Shekev an shaya onov mikol adam, since Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of people, l'chein halach mochshavos keilu, mi anochi v'chi otzi. Moshe lived a life of feeling unworthy. V'heshev lo Hashem, lo shebe emes ein ataroi, v'lo shebe emes chas v'chalila chesronam b'cha, rak min avodahi. Hashem says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, no. This self-doubt is itself a form of Avodas Hashem. It's a sign of what? It's a sign of Yirat Shamayim. Always thinking, I owe Hashem more. Not, I'm good. I don't want to do Averos, and I don't do certain Averos, and I'm scared to do those Averos, lest I get punished. That's one level of Yirat. Another level of Yirat is this constant what? This constant feeling of, maybe I haven't done enough. And again, it has to be done in a healthy way. Otherwise, you're just the person who's depressed and you need to get a good therapist to help you. But there's a healthy way of Moshe Rabbeinu, a holy type of bittul to Hashem, where I feel unworthy of Hashem's love and I feel so thankful to have that opportunity. So there's a form of avoda where a person says, Mi anochi. That didn't stop Moshe Rabbeinu from getting out of bed in the morning. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most courageous, proactive, accomplished leader of our people's history. So he wasn't humble in a way that sidelined him and said, I'm not worthy, I'm not going to learn, I'm not going to teach. Moshe Rabbeinu learned and he taught and he led. But he did so with a sense of what? With a sense of a bittul to Hashem. Avoda ha-me'ira mishtal sheles mibachinas Hashem eka. It's an expression of the name that Hashem reveals to Moshe in this scene when Hashem says to Moshe, my name is Ehayeh, I will be. Responding to Moshe and saying, there's a way of serving Hashem by saying, right now I'm nobody, I'm nothing, but I want to be something. That's a holy form of Avodas Hashem. A feeling of unworthiness before our Creator. Again, not in a depressing way, but in a motivating way. And then the Rebbe says, and we ask the question, why does it say, Dafka, you'll come back to this mountain and serve Hashem on this very mountain? Says the Rebbe in the last paragraph, V'zelecha os ki anochi shalachticha, v'otziacha sa'am mitzrayim ta'abdunas elokim al har hazeh. What is it about Ahar Hazeh? So again, I'm not sure exactly what the Rebbe is saying here. Let's try it together. Hazeh Daika, specifically this mountain, namely Har Sinai. Kiksiv Ayavo Ahar Elokim Choreva. They came to the mountain of God in Chorev. Har Sinai is called Chorev. And the Gemara in Shabbos says, Sheyarda Sina Lu'uma Sa'olam Alahar Hazeh. It was a sense of Chorban that was created at Har Sinai. Namely, it destroyed the relationship between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. There was a sinah, there was a hatred that they had towards us because of our receiving the Torah. Hainu, kevan sha'avoda zo, hi bechinas lenasos ularimosam. Since coming to our Sinai again has some type of elevation, right? A challenge but an elevation that comes from a life of Torah and mitzvos, that serves sheyistemu v'yivoshu ha'soinu makatrim, that serves to silence and to disgrace the enemies of the Jewish people by us becoming the chosen people. V'noisha anachnu kol Yisrael v'yeshuos tovos. And then we're worthy of all sorts of awesome salvation. So I'm not really sure what the Rebbe is saying in this last paragraph. Anyone have some thoughts? Yeah.
Could it be that and everything that we just said is the reason why they hate us? Meaning it's this entire opportunity that we have the power of truth, that we have all this responsibility, that we have to think about Hashem. That's also not only what we should be doing, but that's also the reason, the very reason why we're in this situation right now. That's why.
The fact that the Jewish people are so, can live such a life of hiskashrus to Hashem, right? A sense of a genuine sense of what? Of yiras shemayim and yiras chid in the deepest sense. So therefore what? So they hate us because of that?
That's also why we're in this situation. It's not only what we have to be doing, but it's the exact embodiment of the situation we're in right now.
So you're saying the Nazis hate the Jewish people, the sinah that the nations of the world feel towards the Jewish people is because of this responsibility and this degree of connection and this
ability to do tshuva
and this elevated state of yira. Okay, but there's a lot of important yesodos here. Not to let the averos linger. And again, to become proactive against your averos, right? To the degree that you become more guarded, meirosh, you'll be able to respond more quickly if lo aleinu, if a person does stray, if a person does sin. Yeah.
What about the Ahava? I think that they're both very connected together. Like you can't really have one without the other. And our Rabbi over here is really just focusing on the year of the
right.
I guess just kind of time, but wouldn't we say that like Ahava could bring us closer?
Yeah, Ahava is greater than Yira. Yeah, but Ahava is a higher Madriga than Yira.
You
can't even get to Ahava unless you have this. There's a pagat. There has to be. If I don't have this level of Yira, so then my Ahava is not really Ahava, and it becomes self-serving Ahava. I mean, this is also uncomfortable for us to say because we like to, right? We learn the Chassidus Shasvarim, we learn about Hashem's love for the Jewish people. But if I do things that violate that respect and that trust and that responsibility, so you can't just say I love you afterwards. My actions themselves are proving that you don't. If you love me, why aren't you thinking about me more? If you love me, why are you breaking my expectations of you? So this foundation, but I think the Rebbe, I think, and again, I hope I'm not reading into it too much, I think part of what the Rebbe is saying, that essential paragraph from page Reshit Zion, where he says, people don't want to focus on this because they want to feel like if we're doing anything, that's enough. And the Rebbe is saying, no, this type of yira, again, if understood properly, can actually bring a person a sense of elevation above his suffering, and can bring a person tremendous simcha. Right? It's the Noam Yira Secha. It's the sweetness. It's the sweetness of Yira. It's the pleasantness of Yira. It's not anxiety. It's not depression. It's Moshe Rabbeinu feeling, right, a form of love that comes in the form of unworthiness, and being in awe of the fact that Hashem is, and like Yosef Manasseh saying, given us this opportunity, this unique opportunity, to live with Hashem in this way. And if I care, if I do mess up, then I think that's such an important point. If I do mess up, right, do I respond right away? Do I try to fix things right away? Right? Or have I become used to averos that it doesn't bother me? Is it shocking to me when I do an avero that I want to immediately to apologize, to do tshuva, whatever that means exactly? Right? Or do I say like, yeah, and I'll get around to it? Because that itself is expressing that I don't think the avera is such a big deal. Yeah. David, you want to say something?
No.
Okay. We should be zechet to have Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chet. Not easy things to work on, but we should try with Hashem's help.